This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His Hot Stove Show comes your way tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, we were just talking about the history of, even with the expanded postseason, you know, 50% of the teams that made the playoffs in 2023 missed the following year, just how difficult it is to get back there. And but I said to Cody, like, my expectation is still playoffs, and honestly, my expectation is for them to have a real chance to compete for a division title this year. Where are you at, knowing that history would tell you most teams don't go to the postseason in back-to-back years unless you're, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees and some of these larger payrolls?
Well, I think you look around the division, and with three of the five teams making it to October a season ago, we know one of them is likely to return coming up in 2025. No, I think that should be the expectation. That's certainly the expectation that the organization put forth throughout the offseason. And, you know, juxtaposed to the rest of the teams in the American League Central, I don't believe there was a squad as aggressive as Kansas City. Detroit made an offer at Alex Bregman. They bring in a Jack Flaherty and a Gleyber Torres, but them falling short of a Bregman, to me, gives the crown of the offseason champions in the division to the Kansas City Royals. Listen, it's tough to do it again, but, you know, when I look at Cleveland, I think this is a conversation they should be having. Sure, they still have a terrific bullpen, but without Shane Bieber for most of the season, losing their protection for Jose Ramirez. Honestly, I don't know why anyone would pitch to Jose Ramirez this season with Carlos Santana hitting behind him instead of a guy in Josh Naylor. Minnesota could be that team that knocks out a Cleveland, that knocks Detroit out, but the difficulty of going to the postseason back-to-back years in no way has me trepidatious about my expectations for this team. Are there concerns? You know, is this going to be a battle of attrition? It normally is over the course of 162, especially when you're in the division where, again, four teams, four cities, I would have to believe, all think that they're going to, you know, taste that sweet nectar of October baseball. Twins, Guardians, Royals, Tigers. That's the expectation in all four camps.
Too early to probably know yet for sure, Vern, but I'm guessing the biggest pitfall concern is, other than injury, which is the obvious thing, is maybe the lineup 5 through 9? Like, is that the weakest part of the team right now?
Yeah. I don't think there's much debate about that. And that's why we're seeing Michael Massey and Jonathan India get this opportunity in left field. Now, do I really believe that the organization wants to throw a second baseman in left field, whether it's the maybe less athletic Jonathan India or the lesser of the two arms and Michael Massey? No, I don't think they want to do that, but they acknowledge what you just mentioned. The weak link of this team is the offense. The thing that dragged this team down quite often last season was every hitter not named Bobby, Vinny, or Salvi. But listen, you know, if MJ gets off to another slow start, that opens the door for Michael Massey in left field. If Hunter Renfroe struggles in right, okay, you move MJ over to right, and then, you know, whichever second baseman isn't at second, that's the guy that we see in left field. So I feel like they have more protection in case Michael Garcia, MJ Melendez, or Hunter Renfroe have their inconsistent April, May, June starts to the season. I feel like they're better protected for disappointment than they have been in the previous few seasons, right? We're not evaluating like we were in 2023. It's not MJ's job the way that it was in 2024. Only thing that we know, you know, Jonathan India's in the lineup every single day and hitting at the top. Now, is he at second? Is he at third? Is he in left? The question will ultimately come down to who else is hitting. Massey, MJ, Hunter Renfroe, Michael Garcia. You're going to see, I would have to believe, a better offense this season. But the question is, you know, let's say that India and Massey get off to a nice start. Are they building this team from where they were last season, or are they offsetting the understandable regression from a 34, 35-year-old Salvador Perez, from a, Vinny Pasquantino? Can he put up the kind of numbers that he did last season? To answer your question, yes, that is the weak link of this team, but I obviously believe they have far more depth this season than they did over the past two campaigns.
I was going to ask you about Salvi. You referenced him just there in passing. You know, he's going to be 35 in early May. Last year, I don't want to say a resurgence, but he certainly put together a great year and had some of his best numbers in a couple of years. Silver Slugger Award winner as well. How has he looked, and is there any reason to be concerned that, hey, Father Time, this is the year?
No, I have no concern other than history, right?
Gotcha.
No concern other than exactly what you're talking about, Father Time being undefeated. Now, it's wild, actually, watching Salvi inside the clubhouse as, you know, the veteran that Edinson Volquez is hanging out with. There are some other former Royals greats in the building. James Shields is back. Your boy Joaquin Soria is back. And they all, you know, kind of find themselves to Salvi's locker and talk about the old days. But I'll tell you what, man, it's wild watching Salvi on these backfields for a guy that, yes, I understand, you know, he's the captain, he's the future Hall of Famer, he's probably the second greatest Royal career that we've ever seen thus far. But his relentless encouragement of his teammates, his constant prodding to, you know, take that rep better, go harder on the base pass. It doesn't matter what day you show up out here in Arizona. If you're on the backfield, I promise you'll hear the 34-year-old voice of Salvador Perez still as loud as the guy that I started covering, you know, 13 years ago, the guy that was just bringing a different type of energy. Now that energy and that voice carries so much more weight, and the way that he uses it is endlessly impressive.
You went back and you had mentioned Michael Massey out there in left field. How did you think the debut out there went?
I thought he looked terrific. Now, he had, three opportunities, three fly balls. The first two ended up in the mitt. The second ended up banging off the wall as he took a questionable route on, a fly ball that was, as they tend to, bend towards the foul line out there in left. And look, he just needs reps. But to me, he is a slightly better athlete, slightly looser hips than Jonathan India. I thought he looked adequate out there. But again, like I said yesterday, MJ Melendez is still the better athlete of the three. I think is still the better left fielder of the three. And again, you know, Michael Massey getting those opportunities yesterday out here in a spring training game, his first real competition in the outfield since he was a little kid. So I am going to obviously grade them on a curve, but I thought Massey looked comfortable and certainly looked well prepared. You guys have talked to him enough. He is a dirtbag in the best possible way. He eats, breathes, and sleeps and thinks baseball 24/7. You're not going to catch him flat-footed, and you're certainly not going to catch him make the same mistake twice. So the questionable route, the banana route that he took to the ball yesterday, although understandable for your first time out, I don't think we'll see that again. I was encouraged with what I saw from Michael.
I always view it as like, for a guy who approached the team first about left field, there's no way he's not going to bust his ass to do it, you know? Like,
yeah.
They didn't even ask him yet. He's like, hey, I'll play left. And you're like, whoa, we weren't even asking you to. Like, I'll go to the outfield, whatever you need. That, to me, is usually a pretty good indicator of a guy who's going to, like, get way better as the season goes.
Yeah, and a guy that understands, as we've, you know, it's become kind of a theme of this camp, you know, whatever it takes to get my name in the lineup, get my name in that 26-man roster and help this team get back to the postseason. I was listening to a very colorful James Shields give a little pep talk to the clubhouse earlier today, and, man, the focus was on the postseason, being the best teammate that you can possibly be, and truly giving a blank about the guy next to you in the dugout, in the locker room, truly investing in the team, in your teammates, in the organization. Again, man, it's I'm not going to say it's 2015. It's, you know, those guys were out to kill people. Mm-hmm. They wanted blood in 2015, but it's not far from that. I would say the only difference is they're just a lot younger. You know, Bobby's too sweet to want blood. You know, but when Hosmer and Moose and Gordo showed up, man, those guys were killers. There's a killer inside of Bob. He just doesn't let you see it all that often.
Before we let you go, just a random question, no reason at all. Have you ever sat on a plane next to a dead person while you were flying?
I don't think so, but going into the 2015 ALDS in Houston, flying down there on my birthday, the day before my birthday is my wife's birthday, we went out and got trashed. And I'm sitting there between two elderly people, and the Starburst shots that we were taking the night before all of a sudden started to make an appearance.
Turned.
I could not get up. So I let it go into my little soda cup and then just sat there with a cup of throw-up next to these two elderly folks.
Oh. God, they must have hated you.
Oh, that's awful. No, we were saying there was a story, an actual flight, 15-hour flight from Australia to Doha, and unfortunately, 10 hours into the flight, a woman collapsed and died, but they put the corpse.
Oh, my gosh.
It's awful.
But it's covered with a blanket.
They covered her with a blanket, and they put her in an open seat next to a couple that had to sit next to this corpse for 4 hours.
Oh, my stance for... is that they should move the body to the emergency exit row. You signed up for this speech and to help in an emergency. Get your ass next to the dead body.
And have but they have to confirm. Like the dead person would have to say, yes, I can open this door.
Verbal confirmation. Yeah, you need verbal confirmation. That's true. That's true. We were just going through all the scenarios. Do you think they strap in the body? Like, is that thing buckled up?
Oh, yeah. You got to probably strap in the head, too, right? Or else that'll just be bobbing around like an infant.
That's no good, man. All right, the worst case scenario.
Thanks, Vern. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.